Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. Thank you for joining us today. It is December 20th, 2016, and we have a guest with us today that we had on before who we really couldn't quite hear when we heard the podcast. And today I want to bring back Jose Gonzalez. Jose, thank you for joining us.
Thank you good for having me.
Yes, and Jose is a retired therapist, and the last time we were on, we talked about a slew of politically incorrect issues. And so, Jose, thank you, because one of the reasons I asked you on the show in the first place is because of your perspective, and I met you, somebody referred you to me, and we started talking, and it just seemed like you were willing to, like, be real and be honest about what is considered politically incorrect to even discuss. So what's on your mind? You know, I could have a bunch of things I could talk about, but what would you like to talk about today?
Well, of course, being real is considered a flaw in today's society. And when I speak, I just want to kind of point out that I do speak my opinion based on my observations, my personal experience with clients, and my own research and so on and so forth. And one of the big problems that I see in, for example, social engineering is that people tend to want to believe in something. There's even a few cliches out there that say, you know, you got to believe in something or you fall for anything. And I'm like, no, you don't. You know, you don't have to believe in anything. You know, you just have to live life and be happy.
But exactly. Like, that's really the two things in life, isn't it?
Yeah. And I do want to point out, you introduced me as a retired therapist. I'm actually sort of a semi-retired, I guess I would be an anti-therapist. I do prefer the moniker counselor, because okay, it is more humble. And in the psychology field, it's just like everywhere else. You know, people are like, oh, he's not a counselor. He didn't study. You know, we're just like everybody else. You know, some of us think we're better than others because of our title and so on and so forth. So I prefer the humblest one in the field, which is counselor.
I think
that title goes way back, you know, makes me humble. And I am humble. I'm like the most humble guy. I'm going to nominate myself for the Humble Man of the Year award.
Well, good. You know, what you say reminds me of what my own counselor told me. She said, I'm not the therapist, you are. I just help you figure out. I just help you figure out. Listen to yourself. Like, you know what you got to do. That, and you know, Thomas Ackerman talks about this. We have to do the right thing. Once we start doing the right thing and listen to our gut and really be moved by what our internal guide tells us to do, things work out because we have an internal sense of. Although we do get, I don't know, responded to. Like, one of the things I'd like to talk about myself, since you brought it up, is that fear, like that anxiety, where it's almost as if we've been socially engineered to, like, be afraid. That's what I've had this kind of epiphany lately. Like, we've all been trained, and the lies, it's all based on lies, too. This is why the lying, it's just... It's so deep. It's the nuclear industry has lied about grotesquely genocidal facts. It's ecocide what they're doing, and they continue to lie and brainwash a whole set of scientists to believe that, oh, eventually we're going to work on the answers, and it's already too late. Don't worry about it, because people are really going to die anyway, so we might as well look for the answer and use the energy. That's their underlying message. Right?
Right. Well, you certainly are one of the more learned folks in the field of nuclear energy.
No, I'm a super newbie. I'm going to say no to that because I still, honestly, I don't speak science. I speak human, you know?
Right. Well, but still, you know, compared to the average bear, I've listened to your show for a while, and I'm like, wow. You know, I remember, you know, here's Lonnie saying these things today that I heard when I was like, you know, old enough to realize what nuclear power was when I was 9 or 10 years old back in the, you know, 60s and 70s. And I'm like, she's out there shouting like the lone voice in the wilderness. And we've heard this before and didn't do anything about it. Why? Why didn't we do anything about it? We knew this stuff, you know? You know, you're always, you know, reporting, you know, this happened, and, you know, this, and this goes back to 1950 or whatever, you know, where we knew.
57, yeah. I mean, it's what I call my Scooby-Doo moments, man. You're like, you know what I mean? Like, really?
Yep. See, we tend to think, as human beings tend to think, that the information became... information came into existence on the moment that we personally became aware of it. You know? So, you know, a lot of us start our sentences with, did you know that? And then we'll say something that we just discovered. When you're saying it and I'm like, wow, I remember hearing that, you know, way back then.
Yeah.
Why hasn't society done something about it? Why did we build a nuclear reactor on the fault when we knew there was a fault there, you know?
You know what's a joke about nuclear power plants? You want to know how to find a nuclear power plant? Look for earthquake faults.
Well.
That, I mean, it's a sad truth, but that's exactly, even when they say they didn't know, like, Columbia Generating Station built on a nuclear power, on a earthquake fault, the state said, wow, we did not know. The reality is when they dug into it, the licensee lied. They knew. The licensee knew there was an earthquake fault. They confessed that to the government and had to pay a penalty. Now, have they had to close the plant down? No.
Yeah, see, what's the penalty?
Nothing.
You steal a, you embezzle $1 million and they give you a fine of, you know, of $50,000. Well,
yeah.
It pays. But anyway, you know, back to the social engineering, you know, aspect of it. The people have always had a great power, and our power is what I like to refer to as the Chinese momentum. You know, China doesn't have nuclear weapons. Why? They don't need them. If the people get pissed off, they'll just raid whatever country they're mad at, and the country will be overwhelmed with population. That their military strategy is masses, right? You know,
wouldn't counter that idea that they do not have nuclear weapons. I would venture to say they have nuclear weapons.
Well, maybe so. And of course, I bow and humble myself to your superiority.
I mean, that's just that's that's my opinion again. I have no proof of that, but I would seriously think that the Chinese, after all these many years with all of the disappeared radioactive material used to build bombs that happens and is reported by the NRC all the time, someone's got some nuclear weapons they're not talking about.
Yeah, probably. You're probably right. But anyway, you know, we as a people have the power to just, you know, just gather together en masse and make the minority, which are the elites, stop doing what they're doing. And it's been done several times in several nations. It's seldomly reported. You know, you'll be surprised how many revolutions we've had in the United States of America. You know, we think we had the American Revolution, which I say was not a revolution. It was a coup d'etat. We didn't revolt as a people. You know, the rich guys, you know, convinced the poor folks, as usual, to go to war because, you know, somebody was taxing the rich people. And the poor people went to war. And then when we won, the rich guys were now in charge instead of the king. So, and then they taxed the people, you know, without asking them, you know, because we
and
had
kept
to pay
the slavery, you know, like that's the ironic part. And yeah. When people also too, people don't realize, I think I read it was less than a third of the American people were engaged in the revolution. Less than a third. That's what
exactly.
It took.
Exactly. Because most people are content. Lonnie, you wake up in the morning. You have to make your own coffee if you drink coffee. You know, you make your own breakfast, or you have to, you know, go out for your breakfast. You know, you have to pull your panties on one leg at a time. I heard you say something about your big girl panties the other day, so that stayed in my mind.
I did never say that. I promise you that.
Oh,
that's not a phrase I would never use.
I have
whole opinion on that one. So
okay, may have been someone else on another show, but anyway. Okay, you have to do all these things regardless of who's the president of the United States, regardless of who hacked whose email and you know who exposed whose wrongdoing. You still have to do it. If yesterday's electoral college had reversed the decision on their decision on who was going to be the next president, how would that have changed your day today? You still have to do the same things for yourself. The president's not going to come over here and make you a cup of coffee. If Russia invades the United States and takes over without even firing a shot, and now we have a Russian president, how is that going to change your day-to-day activity? Yeah, some, you know, 10% to maybe...
Well, eventually it would. I mean, it's actually the same issue with nuclear contamination, Jose. The change doesn't happen overnight. It's incremental. It's dink, dink, dink. You can't... An abuser does not go from being a happy, loving couple one day to punching you in the face the next. That rarely happens. It's a small incremental push to outright abuse. And now the American people, we have been pushed and pushed and pushed. We've been yanked by the hair. Now we are about to get pummeled right in the face. That's how I view what's going to happen with the Trump presidency. Well, we have been being pummeled, actually, since Bush took over in 2000.
In spite of the fact that I agree with you, I'm still starting at square one and trying to lead you to how we got there.
Okay, good.
Okay. You know, Napoleon, I'm going to misquote him
20
now.
20 minutes later, please do.
Napoleon Bonaparte, okay? Few people understand the significance of Napoleon Bonaparte, right? Here was a man that came to power. And do you know the story of him, how the... You know, he was going to be crowned by a religious leader, and Napoleon took the crown and crowned himself, right?
Right.
How arrogant is that? Of course, it is. It does fall in step with the revolutionary atmosphere at the moment. We call it the Zeitgeist or the Zeitgeist. I don't know. It's a German word, and those German elitist words, you know, are above my head anyway, right? The feeling of the moment was, hey, you don't tell me that I'm in charge. I'll tell you that I'm in charge. So basically, if someone is putting a crown on you, someone is telling you that you're the boss.
Right.
You know, so he took that crown and said, give me that. I'll crown myself. Thank you very much. Now, everybody's like, wow, yes, Napoleon. How dare he be so arrogant? Yes, but leaders are like that. They need to be arrogant. The problem is, he crowned himself boss, right, after the people of France had gone through a lot of trouble to let everybody know that they weren't going to take any more bull from bosses, right? They had just killed the king. And by the way, comparing the American Revolution to the French Revolution is like comparing apples to marbles, you know? The French went through a great, you know, they were in the middle of a depression, which is usually an economic depression, which is usually what causes people
well,
to
also, the French were a developed country. They'd been around a long time. The United States was completely new. So it was a whole different, I mean, we came here and slaughtered, you know, whole tribes of people, developed civilizations.
Right.
That happened in France 1,000 years before.
Right. But that's a topic for another month worth of shows. But the French got tired and they rose up. They killed their king and queen and killed everyone that supported the king and the queen. And then they killed everyone that worked for the people who supported the king.
Did they really?
And then they killed anyone who was related to the people who supported the king and queen. And then they killed... They just went like, hey, I saw him delivering mail to the king. Yes, and then they killed that person. You know? I mean, they just killed... They wanted
so
to...
So it makes the Russian Revolution look merciful, huh?
Yeah.
They
killed everybody. They said, you know what? We're going to change the world. We're tired of these people telling us what to... If you don't understand, do you know the concept of the 12-inch ruler?
No.
Okay. This is part of our, you know, indoctrination into a society. The 12-inch ruler, do you know another name for the 12-inch ruler?
No.
At school?
A 12-inch ruler?
12 inches makes a?
Foot, yeah.
Right, a foot. The size of the 12-inch ruler was determined by the size of the king's foot, whatever king was in power at the time. Right? So you had one king who had a 12-inch foot, and a foot was 12 inches, and that's how you measured in commerce, right? If
okay.
a king had a 10-inch foot, the people had to adjust their commerce to a 12-inch ruler. That, and the reason it's called the ruler is because the king was the ruler, right?
Oh, now, my God. Now, okay, so this really affects a lot of things within the culture, if that's actually really true.
Yeah, it affects commerce. And
no wonder the European culture is just so freaking mixed up. Like, really? They can't even figure out the rules?
For real. Now, imagine the French people finally threw up their hands and said, screw this, we're not going to do it, it's not working, you guys are fired, they killed everybody, and they said, we're going to change the measuring system. That's why we have the metric system. The French came up with the metric system. Well, actually, the French incorporated the metric system. I'm not sure who developed it, so anybody out there who knows better might be able to...
Hey, so let me bring this back to your main point here.
Good luck.
Okay. No, we were talking about the social engineering, because this is the thing. It's all about how you were talking about how we get up and do everything the same time every single day. And it doesn't matter who's president, who's going to what do president. But I think it goes deeper than that, Jose. I don't think it's about like today's politically set, like the whole agenda, the media based. I think there's like this undercurrent. We have been lied to about the nuclear, about the chemical, the lying, the whole fear base is to keep us from paying attention to their lies. The fear has been to keep us like, we're afraid we're going to lose what we think is important. So we're going to let, I mean, what industry that we know of allows for every, now this is old standards. They've raised it now. So there's more people that they allow to die now. But the new standards, the old standards were that for every 2 rats in the air per a population of 1 million people, they allowed 32,000 cancers and 225,000 birth defects or negative health effects on infants per year.
Ouch. See, I was unaware of that.
That is a huge, that's on the NRC, it's buried on the NRC standard somewhere in their technical guides. That comes from the 50s. That, and you know what John Goffman said in his books that I actually read these on my YouTube channel? That's all arbitrary. You know how they decided, you know how they say 1 in 10,000 will get cancer? You know how they picked that number? When they did their study with the government, he and Arthur Tamplin were asked to do their study to test the health effects of radiation on the population because they realized what they were doing, right? So they wanted to study 100,000 people. The government was like, heck no, that's too many people. Too many people know what we're doing. You have to get it down. They said, okay, 10,000. They said, no. They said, okay, well, how about 1,000? Nope. You can do 100 people. Then they said, do 10 people. And then they extrapolated it to 100 to be generous. And then they said, well, because out of 10 people, nobody had cancer. So then they said, okay, well, let's extrapolate it to 100. And I honestly don't recall if they tested 100 or if they extrapolated to 100, but no more than 100. I think John was asking for 100 people. But they basically said, well, if 1 out of 10 doesn't get it and 1 out of 100 doesn't get it, then we can be generous and say, 1 out of 1,000. And the government said, 1 out of 10,000. That's how they picked the number. They just picked a number and tested 100 people.
Okay, now you're
Now, the
getting.
facts proved out to be the 32,000 a year. They know that. Those statistical facts they could prove because they have the radioactive contamination and they had the victims.
Right, so they can track it now. Now, you hit exactly on the point that I was trying to make. Oh, hold on, I think I just lost my train of thought. Okay. Yeah, this is what I said. When I first started speaking, I said, look, I'm talking my opinion. This is my opinion. I'm going to speak to you as an expert of what I know, of what I have experienced, my opinion. I'm an expert of my opinion. But when I come on your show and I talk, and I, give statistics and stuff, people are like, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about, and they think that I'm an expert. And that's what happens, thanks to Edward Bernays, but we'll get too much into him.
We've talked about that guy before.
Right. That people come on your show, Lonnie, and I listen to them and I'm like, wow, I didn't know that. Wow, that's news to me. Wow, I'm glad I listened to this guy. And so I consider this guy an expert, but I don't know if he's right or wrong. I
And
just
you don't follow up to track his facts and look at his
exactly
thing.
because we tend to be critical thinkers only on information that we hear that contradicts what we've heard.
Or what we believe, or what we believe, right.
We seldom critical think information that we hear for the first time. Like you told me, hey, they didn't even do a survey on 100,000 people, which as a sociologist, I know that if you want accurate stats, you need to get big numbers.
Right.
The bigger the numbers, the more accurate your statistics. And when I do my workshops, remember I told you that I do these free relationship enhancement workshops for people that want to get married in the state of Texas, and they complete my workshop, they get a $60 discount on a marriage license from the state of Texas. Okay? Now people are like, wow, a $60 discount? You must be a very knowledgeable guy. And I'm like, well, actually, the state of Texas used to charge $10 for a license, and they raised the price up in order for people to take my workshops, right?
Really?
Yeah. Of course, nobody knows that. You don't know how much a marriage license is unless you've already been married. And if you've been married, I bet you've already forgotten
how much marriage license now.
Well, it's $62 in some counties in the state of Texas. Some counties actually, you can get a marriage license for free.
Uh-huh.
Right? I think the most expensive marriage license in the state of Texas was $17. But now they raise it up to $67. Is it?
I wonder what the court fees are for getting a divorce.
To say, well, it you'd have to attend my workshop.
Oh, does your workshop tell you that?
Well, I mention it, because, it's a inside joke with the marriage and family counselors. Why is divorce so much more expensive than a marriage license? And the answer is, well, because it's worth it. It's worth the money.
Exactly.
but anyway, I attack it from an angle of, why? I start my workshops with, I don't understand why anybody wants to get legally, quote unquote, married. When there's nothing written anywhere that says you have to get, quote, legally, unquote, married. But anyway, that's a different topic. People do what they're supposed to do, right?
Well, again, it's fear-based. Do you know why people get married? Because they think, God, what if something happened to you and you were in the hospital? I couldn't go into your hospital room because we're not legally married. Fear-based,
like
again, it's fear.
People like you think that. Most people think, well, I have to do it. You can't get married unless you get a marriage license. People genuinely think. I mean, you watch movies where I watched the Jerry Lewis Lewis and Martin movie. Yes, I'm a little old fashioned, but I watched the Lewis and Martin movie the other day, and the dog, was inside a car, and the car started rolling away. And Jerry Lewis says, "Hey, he can't drive. He doesn't have a license." So it's something that has been Edward Bernays.
Subliminal yeah. selling to us. That's very true. And that's one of the things that people that support Trump, they if you bring that era of movie up, but that's what they call the good old days.
Yeah.
Those were the good old days when comedy was comedy and things were fun and life was great.
Yeah, yeah.
Those
and
were
black
the
people
good old days.
Stayed in their own neighborhoods and didn't raise a fuss. And Mexicanos
right.
went back to where they belonged. And, even though, the third of the United States used to be in Mexico, and people keep telling us, go back to where
go
where
back
you
home. You're like, really? Please do. The exit's that way, east.
But, Tim Wise is always, saying, it's disgusting. He finds it disgusting that he, a white man, and I believe he's of Jewish descent, but that's religion. That's not
right.
a race, right? He's like, it's disgusting that I'm saying things as a white man and you're believing them. Most people are, right? So people think he's a traitor, which makes his point. But anyway, he says that you should be listening to from a black man, but you won't listen to a black man. And he says, the evidence of that is that black men have been saying this for decades and nothing has changed. But now I come up here and people are listening. And he's like, I'm not saying anything.
Isn't that whiteism? That's what we talked about before. It's the whiteism.
Yeah, it's white.
I mean, again, but then it's also, again, it gets down to the ultimate core of we have been lied to and people live in fear. We have been lied to that whiteism, European whiteism, is the most pure, smartest, fundamentally the right way to go with culture. And we're not just talking races of people. We're talking about the, that it's that whole idea of European is the way to go for everyone on the planet. That's kind of the main, to be honest, when you look at the continent of Africa, it's still occupied by all the European forces. They're not allowed to run their country the way their entire continent the way they want. Not allowed. Listen to how that works. It's not allowed because we live in a war state planet.
Yeah,
I mean,
well.
Sweden sells the one behind the United States. Sweden is the highest gun seller in the entire planet.
Yeah. Isn't
The
it funny?
sweet, peaceful Swedes that everybody's like, oh, Americans want to be like the Swedes.
Yeah, isn't it funny? Because Sweden is known as a neutral country. Oh no, we don't want to get involved. You know,
Yeah,
we
they
love you
sell
both.
guns to both sides. Heck yeah, go kill yourselves. We'll
You
take
see,
over
but
the planet.
and most people are like, no, we, you know, Sweden, you know, they're, oh, Germany, we have to split Germany up because they're so bad. You know, when you actually study history, well, I'm gonna, you know, I hate to be put in a position of defending Germany, but what else would Germany do? You know, when these things were happening to them from World War One. Yeah, maybe they messed up in
Well,
World War One.
you know, a lot of people, you bring this up, what happened in World War II, World War I. A lot of people have made the analogy. There's been lots of like very mean comparisons about Trump to Hitler, and I mean, he could be a despot, but that this is not 1933, 32, where we're going to watch people be hauled off to jail without massive resistance. There's way too many guns in this country.
Well,
You know?
it's already happening, but it's happening to the people you don't like, you know?
Right.
And so we don't pay attention to it, you know?
Well,
Well,
not to the people you don't like, it's to people of color. Let's put it to you that way. Who's in jail? Who's in the private prisons? Most
yeah.
of it is filled with people of color because the judges have put them there, not because they are particularly bad. Like, that's the insulting part about Trump. He's like talking about all those bad guys in jail and they need to stay there and we're going to be tougher on crime. Pete Sessions talking about those bad people. Really? He's going to say that anybody's a criminal that smokes marijuana. Do you know that our government just made CBD, which helps many illnesses, does not get you high, is not an intoxicant. They listed it as a heroin one, as a drug equal to heroin, so that now people can't use it federally.
Yeah, I saw that.
That is such an attack on health care and on people's health. And what it is, it will supplement the cancer industry who wants to use radiation to treat you even though they know it kills you. Again, it goes back to the entire nuclear industry. No one can talk about nuclear. No one can mention it. If you say it, people have been conditioned to roll their eyes. If they look at you, they look at you with a look of fear and dread. And they act like you're some kind of a lunatic for even wanting to pay attention to it. And when they get cancer, they drive their kids to the cancer clinics and put radioactive contamination in their bodies to kill the cancer. Like, it's beyond comprehension, Jose.
Hey, Lonnie, get your own show. We're talking about emotions and feelings and yes.
No emotion attached to any of that.
And the thing is that people don't notice. Okay, in my workshops, I discuss divorce rates.
Okay.
Now, let me finish this train of thought because I'm really scatterbrained. I'm so easily misdirected, as you have no doubt found out. But I tell people in 1978, divorce rates peaked. Okay, do you know what the divorce rates are today, Lonnie? I know you and I have both been divorced, so it's so.
Oh, probably almost 100%. I'd say like 80%.
And actually, it's not a rate. It's a percent. It's not even a percentage. 3 out of 5, which is about 60%, right?
Wow.
Three out of five. And divorce rates have been going down since 1980. Some people can't even grasp the concept of 1980, right? But because I'm a sociologist, you know,
Is
by
that
the way,
because people aren't getting married?
it is. Hey, get your own show. This is mine right now. Okay. Okay. I tell people there, since 1980, divorce rates have been going down steadily. There's even a 10-year period where the Bureau of Census, the Census Bureau. You know, why is the Census Bureau the only bureau that's not called the Bureau of Census? Or, you know, everything else is the Bureau of this and Bureau of that. Anyway, the Census Bureau stopped reporting the information for 10 years, and sociologists clamored, no, we want this information, keep it up. So they started reporting again after 10 years, and the line on the chart took up just where it should be if it had continued, just a steady downward trend on divorce. Okay? Now, I show that to couples that are going to get married, and I tell them, you know, I ask them, you know, why? Why is this? And some people are smart like you, and they say, well, could it be because less people are getting married? And I'm like, yes, that's why. Less people. But why are less people getting married? And if the divorce rate right now is at 60 or 6 out of 10, right, 60%, how bad was it in 1978 and 1980? And what happened to cause the divorce rates to be so high in 1978 and 1980? And people are like, well, I don't know. And I said, well, I looked into it. Something happened in 1960 that affected the divorce rate in 1978 and 1980. Do you have any idea what happened in 1960?
No, I have no idea.
The birth control pill was introduced to the public in 1960.
So how did that affect the divorce rate, do you think?
Well, if you were an adult woman in 1960 and pharmaceuticals said, here, take this pill and you won't get pregnant, you would probably say, I'm not putting that crap in my mouth. My body is a temple. But some women did. In 1962, a few more women did. In 1970...
Are you kidding, Jose? If someone gave me a pill in 1960, I would have said, thank you, Jesus, I can't get pregnant.
Well, hold on. Hold on. By 1978, women who were born in 1960, as far as they knew, the pill had always existed.
Wow, like me, yeah.
Right. The pill had always existed, so they took more. Now, all of a sudden, they had this sexual freedom. They didn't have to be married to have sex, so the divorce rates went up. In 1980, women that were born in 1980...
I think it's not they didn't have to be married to have sex, and that's why the divorce rates ran up. I think it's women didn't get pregnant and found their freedom and thought, I don't have to put up with this bullshit. I don't have to get bullied and beaten. And, you know, women just said, no, we're not dealing with it. We're not supporting these guys.
Good enough. I'll let you have your say, but you're still supporting what my theory on it, okay?
Sure.
And in 1980, these women were 20, about to turn 21, which is, you know, considered the legal age in the United States. Of course, back then, if you think about 1978, in the state of Texas, the legal drinking age was 18, you know, so they did raise it up later on, but 21 is kind of like the go-to age,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is what will cause it. Another thing that happened in the mid-70s was the Equal Rights Amendment was being introduced, which meant that women were finally going to get paid equally to men. Ironically, that bill has never been ratified. And like I said before, people think that information comes to existence on the day they become aware of it. Well, in the 70s, we had a lot of baby boomers, right? And remember, the people born in 1960 were the tail end of the baby boomers, which had a big effect on everything in the United States and the rest of the world that had baby boomers, which baby boomers are people born of of married couples that came back after World War II. Married couples that got married after World War II. How's that? How's that sound? Right? You know, when all the men were away and then they all came back at the same day and they all got married on the same day and they all had babies on the same day.
Yeah.
You know, so baby boomers affected the economy a lot in the United States and in England and other, you know, countries. I'm sure it even affected them in Russia, but we lack the statistics to support that. But anyway, the tail end of the baby boomers are 1960. You know, these are kids that were born in 1960 were some of the last baby boomers. After 1960, you know, 61, it's kind of a fuzzy line. They're no longer considered baby boomers, you know, but anyway. So baby boomers in 1975 became aware of the Equal Rights Amendment, even though the Equal Rights Amendment, I believe, has been sitting on, has been dustily sitting on the desks of Congress
since forever.
Since 1940 or something like that. Don't quote me on that date. You know, but here it is. A bunch of baby boomers says, "Hey, look, the Equal Rights Amendment. You know, once this Equal Rights Amendment passes, we women are going to be able to get jobs. We're going to be able to support ourselves. We don't have to put up with these jerk men that think that the little toe kick under the stove was designed because women have short feet." You know.
Wikipedia says the Equal Rights Amendment was first introduced in 1923.
Listen to that, 1923.
And still has never been ratified. It was sent to them. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, part of the reason is the language. Equal justice under law to all citizens. That's why. They don't want all citizens.
Yeah, no, we can't have that. And I know it's too late now, but we're gonna make America what again?
All right.
Yeah, we can't pass a bill to make all citizens equal. And by the way, some people argue that the word citizen is really slave anyway.
This brings me to a question I definitely wanted to remember to ask you about in terms of this whole social programming thing. Yesterday, the news broke that Donald Trump says he's going to keep his own private security team as president. Isn't that on him on an unconscious level saying he doesn't trust the Secret Service? Isn't that him saying that fundamentally to the American people that I can be your president, but I don't even trust your government that's going to... I mean, what kind of message does that do on an unconscious level to stoke up the fear?
Yes, it is. But, you know, I would expect him to do something like that because he did run on a platform, sort of, and it's arguable, right? He ran on a platform of anti-establishment, even though this establishment... I mean, the established way of doing things is what kept him rich. If Trump, I don't want to give a political opinion. I'll give a personal opinion. As a man, I have very little respect for what Trump does, but I have a lot of respect for many things that he says. You know, we've heard the stories about how, you know, he owed somebody money and didn't want to pay it, so he declared bankruptcy. You know, and all of a sudden this person is stuck out on a limb, can't collect, you know, his money, he has to go out of business and so on and so forth. But you know, he the words are there. He says things obviously that so-called Americans want to hear. You know, who would have thought that somebody who said the things that he said would have even had a glimmer of a chance? I mean, you know,
I would have, because this is a really, there's many bigots and many misogynists in this country. There are, we live in a rape culture. It is a real thing. It's not some feminist quote. I mean, calling someone a feminist is now an insult. You know, I mean, the reality is that we have to separate ourselves by genders is ridiculous.
True. And I do mention that in my workshop where I ask, let me see by show of hands how many people out here are feminist. And everybody's like, oh, no, I'm not going to raise my hand. Oh, no way. I'm not. I mean, I'm like, well, do you not believe that men and women should be treated equally in socially equally? I know sexually men and women are built different, so it's hard to have sexual equality, you know, because... You know, one's a giver and one's an acceptor, if you will. But socially, do you believe that, you know, one sex is better or should be treated better than the other? And they're like, oh, no, you know, I believe that everybody should be treated. Well, that's feminism. Feminism isn't saying that women should be treated better than men. Feminism is saying women should be treated better because they're equal to man, right?
Right.
And then I go into the details of how we do sexist things, and it's hard. The biggest fight against feminism is the old rolling of the eyes, you know, like,
here we go again.
Yeah, here we go again. And now I have to watch what I say, you know, because we have to be politically correct. And I'm like, if I were to tell you, hey, you know, whenever you pass by me, you bump me with your butt, that makes me uncomfortable. You should say, I'm sorry, I'll do better. I'll try. I wasn't even aware. You know, my butt's so big that I'm always bumping it on things. I don't even realize that it might be bothering people. And I'm
right.
Like, thank you. But if you say things like, you know, if you open the door to me, basically what you're saying is that I'm too weak to open the door for myself.
That's right.
You know, and that's the tradition. And I go into, you know, I've done the research where I can explain to people what this means. Where did the tradition of holding a door open for a woman come? Pulling a chair back for a woman, you know, for a woman come? You know, how come we don't pull chairs back for men? You know,
or for the elderly, or for the, you know what I mean? The whole thing about how we do all this stuff is really at an unconscious level. You know, I encountered a lot of that stuff because I'm a pretty independent woman. So when I was younger, like, that just seemed so ridiculous. You know what I mean? And I mean, I encountered a lot of hostility because I have a quote male name when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I just didn't go along with that whole you have to treat me like a queen thing, like that whole treat him like a king, treat him like, there's a whole conversation in subculture now about treating each other like a king or a queen. Calling each other kings and queens to me puts us at a different, on an unconscious level, in a way of looking down on everyone else.
Exactly. Oh man, Lonnie, you know, you have a lot of potential as a future ex-wife.
I actually have a lot of experience as an ex-wife, so don't worry about that.
Anyway, I discussed that in the workshop. You know, I say, you know, what's your favorite, you know, Disney relationship movie? You know, because we have Cinderella, The Little Mermaid, and Beauty and the Beast. And I'm like, you know, these are all things that we saw as children. We tend to incorporate these movies, whether you're male or female, as
the basis,
a fundamental philosophy in relationships. And that goes on, you know, once you have a philosophy in relationships, that affects your whole social being. You know, I used to love, you know, when I was raising my kids, by the way, I am not perfect.
You're not?
Today, I am not perfect. But I do like to tell people, there's only one perfect being in this whole world, and that's me. I am so perfect that I even leave room for improvement. Right?
That's so a good way to put it.
Are you getting it?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I even leave room for improvement. That's actually good.
Right. So anyway, but... You know, so I tell people I've made my mistakes. You know, I've actually had my children attend the workshops. You know, when they were getting married and stuff, and they pointed out some of my mistakes and they pointed out some of the good things. I'm like, good. This is what we have to do. We have to accept the fact that we're not perfect. But when we do, the only way to accept that we're not perfect is to be a critical thinker of everything. And like I mentioned before. The problem with our nation, and it goes down to our individuals, philosophies on relationships, because everything you do is about relationship. You have, when you go vote, you have a relationship with that person that you're going to vote for and with that person against whom you're going to vote. right?
Mm-hmm.
And you use that, you translate that. You associate Donald Trump with a father figure or an uncle figure or a molester figure, you know.
Pretty much. To me, he is really the epitome of repulsiveness, to be frank. I mean, he could not capture the worst part of American spirit for me any more than Donald Trump. Like, as an American male, he's like really. I actually said this in a video. I think he needs therapy really bad. I sent him a video and told him, I hope you guys get therapy because did you look at your wife? She was not happy on election night. You guys need help. And I
But
tweeted in that video.
by the way, you should share your you have I suppose you have a YouTube account, a YouTube site
Yes. Well, oh,
channel.
thank you for
That's what
promoting my YouTube site, Jose. I mean, this is how I came into being on this radio show, as I w had a, and actually, that again, I activated my YouTube account to help promote Kevin Blanch. I used to make videos about promoting Kevin's the Post Ignorance Project. So we incorporated the Post Ignorance Project. We wanted to make it a national movement so that we could have an umbrella of people underneath this thing. And the dynamics of it just didn't work, but it did get me activated on my YouTube channel, which is Nuts for Art, NutzForArt. Nuts for Art. And it actually has a bunch of kind of odd videos on there. Like I have a puppet shows. Like I'm going to be making some puppet shows now that I'm not out of school. I made some puppets, and I have a character called Mr. Nuclear Man, and he loves to steal your children. That's
Okay.
his big thing.
Okay, hold on, hold on. You mentioned, oh, it's slipping my head. Post ignorance.
The Post Ignorance Project. Yeah.
That leaves.
That was Kevin Blanch's show, remember? The Post Ignorance Project.
Actually, this is the first I've heard of it, and it leaves a flavor in my mouth of something I wish I had been a part of.
I wish you had been a part of it. I wish we could have made it really work. It was just the dynamics of Kevin's more independent. He came up with the idea. It was Kevin Blanch's idea, the Post Ignorance Project. Me and him, when I first called him, we hit it off like nobody's business because, like, I heard him say this Post Ignorance, and I'm like, dude, let's make this like real. Let's make it across the country. And so he went around the country to various sites. He went to Tennessee. He went to New York. He was at he went to Helen Caldicott's seminars. I insisted he go because I wanted him to make up with Helen. That ended up not working out. He went to Sister Megan Rice's trials. I mean, he went to San Onofre. I mean, he's still continuing his activism, actually. Even though we've separated, there's people that still support him outside of that. And the website is still his if he wants it. I still own it. I'm not going to give it to anybody, the Post Ignorance Project. It's Kevin's. I told him he can have it. But he needs someone to sponsor the website, which is expensive, and I think that's why he hasn't taken it over. But it's a great idea. The fact is, the Post Ignorance Project is growing whether it's an organization people can join or not, because we're all post ignorant. The post ignorance is once you know, you can't unknow.
I like that.
I mean, we are all
I
post
completely
ignorant.
missed out on it.
Yeah.
I'm not big on internet radio. I started off because of the problems that my son, got into, and people wanted to know my son Cerno's father, as if I had, I sort of got popular by proxy, but
I don't know
I
about your son's drama. Did your son have some type of a. Well, we'll talk about that on another show. You can share that if you want to. But
Yeah, it's.
the whole idea about the Post Ignorance Project is really the idea that the world is waking up. I mean, we. What, but what the goal is to get people out, like to get people active, to get people like. We need millions and millions. How many millions of Americans are adults? They have a responsibility to stop the nuclear liars, to say, hey, you know what? You guys have been lying to us long enough. I mean, Trump is going to put in pipelines all over this country. He has already told us it's coming. And they are going to put in nuclear. It's coming. And the millions of us whose children are suffering, our grandchildren are suffering, we have an obligation as adults to stand up as adults. This is why Kevin like cussed all the time because like, you, man. Like, really, just shut up. Like, it's so outrageous. You continue to lie and lie and lie. You can look at these panels of paid experts, and they will look at you stone faced while you tell them, you know what? You guys have been lying to us, and this, and this, and this. And they're like, thank you very much. Next. It's infuriating. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, if you don't want to get up and you like shake them, like say, stop lying to us. I mean, at some point, we need to get the scientists out of the grips of the liars, the people that are killing the planet. The scientists are cooperating because they want a paycheck and they are afraid. They're afraid that if they don't get their pay, like if the paycheck goes away and they figure out a way, the industry will figure out a way to come get them. If they come out, look at what they do to whistleblowers. Hard, hard, hard. Whistleblowers rarely get out of jail anymore. They go to jail. Many of them are getting killed.
Yeah, this
I
spring.
mean, it's.
Many of them are getting war declared on them. Russia,
Well, we have had war declared on us as a people, and Americans need to get, if we want to make America great, the way to make America great is for people to stand up, use their voices, and force our democracy to work. Because if millions of people called your elected officials every day about shutting down these nuclear power plants, and I'm talking about millions of people, if they would be shut down tomorrow because they don't make sense, they're costing us money, and they're killing our kids.
And I
The
like the
only
way you say,
benefit is military.
and I like the way you say elected officials. And don't get me started on military as an economic source of income for individuals, especially poor individuals,
Isn't that the point of it all?
again, I'll go back to saying, because I know we're cutting it close on time,
Yeah,
but
we've got
I'll
1 minute.
go back to saying that we tend to critical think that which we hear. On the second time around, we seldom critically think what we're first told, and this is why I mentioned that story about the pill, right?
Okay.
Because women, this is the way it was. You get married or not, you have sex, you have babies. This is the way it's always been. What? I can take a pill and stop being pregnant? I don't think so, mister. Some people did, right? But by 1978, women who are now 18 have always had the pill in their life, so they think this has always been in existence. And they took the pill. Now, the pill is a basis of a whole nother issue that I have, because I believe it's going to cause a big rate of Alzheimer's in women who were born, 1960 and afterwards, but that's another issue. But the thing is that they didn't critically think out the pill. And the pill, it messes with a woman's hormones and stuff, right? This is something that's going to affect them for life, but they didn't critically think it, these 18 and 20-year-old girls, because as far as they were concerned, this is always been. And some people protested the concept of nuclear power, nuclear energy, way back when. And they knew, they said everything you're saying now. The money was bigger, and the money knew all we have to do is hang on for 18 or 20 years, and then the American people will accept this as it's always been.
Amen. And I have to cut us off. We've got 15 seconds. Put your courage feet on. Thank you, Jose Gonzalez, for joining us. Join us again tomorrow. Thank you for joining us, Jose. Really, it's been a pleasure. We'll do this again. Put your courage feet on. Take action, you guys. Talk to you later.